Okay, hi everybody. I'm Nina. I'm a compulsive eater. I did this in this meeting a few years ago and basically had a script. I'm not doing a script this time, so got some notes. Hope it's not too scattered, but I am just going to hit the whole what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So what it was like. Let me give you a visual about what it was like. That's what it was like. And of course, that's just the visual representation of what it was like. I hear people come into programs sometimes and they talk about how they became compulsive eaters or they realized they had a problem with food. I always thought I was born this way. Some of my earliest memories are of hurting myself with food. Are of using food to numb, to deal with life, essentially. One of my earliest memories is standing in our pantry closet and taking down food to eat and talking out loud to myself. I was 6 or 7, saying, "It's okay, you can do this because you had a hard day." And my mom emerged from the shadows, who had been watching me, and said, with just this incredible pain in her voice, "Why are you doing this to yourself?" And of course, I did not know why. And the thing is, I still don't really know why. But thus began maybe this insistence that I had to figure out the why before I could stop. And I was a kid with a lot of pain, for whatever reasons. And all I wanted to do was not feel that pain, and all I wanted to do was not think my thoughts. And food let me do that. And by the time I got to the person you saw in the picture, I had been binging and purging for decades. And it became everything I did, literally. My life kept shrinking, and my disease kept growing. And I became more and more convinced that I absolutely had to live that way. That, in fact, that was the only way I could survive in this world because I was incapable of living life without numbing it. And my sort of OA origin story is, I looked like that. This was about almost 9 years ago. And I've been having a lot of health problems, many of which had nothing to do with my weight. But long story short, I ended up finding out that I had degenerative disc disease and bone disease in my neck. And I was sitting in a neurosurgeon's office and I was looking at the scans, and my parents were with me. And he said, "Look, you've got bone spurs jutting into your spinal cord." And I was very dizzy and, headaches and all this stuff. And he said, "And this, there is one solution to this, and that's surgery. This is, there's no shots, there's no medication, there's no physical therapy, this is surgery." And then he broke eye contact with me and he said, "But I won't operate on you because you won't get off the table." And he said, "But eventually this is going to paralyze you." And I sat there, and my first reaction, which had been my reaction so many times when I would hear something like that from a doctor or a therapist or my parents, was to get really angry and to say, "I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to go. I'm going to lose the weight, and that's going to be it, and I'm going to do it." And that was a point in my life when binging was at least daily, often more than once. Because, like I said, I didn't do anything else. All I did was binge and purge and plan the next one. I didn't work. I didn't go to school. I didn't think I could. I didn't think I could handle it. But in that moment, I got angry. I said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." And then we left that appointment, and it was a bit of a drive from that appointment home. And like I said, I was with my parents, and we were just silent. And that anger sort of subsided. And what replaced it was the realization, I can't do it. I can't do it. I actually don't know how to do it. And it wasn't that I didn't know how to lose weight, because I did. As I think most large people know how to lose weight very well. We've done it a lot of times. But what I didn't know how to do was give up this coping mechanism. Because I didn't want to live, because I didn't think I could, but I also realized I didn't want to die. But I didn't know how to bridge that gap. And I had tried everything, a lot of therapy, a lot of medication. I had surgery, which was a nightmare. It's a, another story. And I didn't know what to do. I knew I wasn't going to have another surgery. I knew I wasn't going to go to a pay and weigh. I knew none of those things were going to work because I tried them and they didn't. But I wasn't ready to totally give up on life. I wasn't ready to just sit there and let, you know, the bones keep jutting and get paralyzed and just waste, ironically, waste away at that size. And what I realized in that, what I've come to realize about that moment is that was my surrender moment. That was my moment of there is, I have this thing. I have this thing, and I don't know how to get better. And nobody seems to know how to make me get better. And I made my way to an OA meeting not long after that. And it was the first time I'd been out of the house, probably since the doctor's appointment. And I had always, you know, been reluctant because I am an atheist, or as I like to say, a 99.9% atheist, 0.1% agnostic, because I don't know. And I was in a church, and I drove up to the parking lot and said, all right, if I can figure out which door to go in, I'll go to the meeting. And I saw people going to a door, so I said, okay, I'll follow them, I'll go to the meeting. And I walked in, and to my horror, somebody said, hi, what's your name? Are you new? And I didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, I'd only ever seen 12-step meetings like on TV. And I thought, oh, okay, we all go sit in an auditorium in rows and someone stands at a podium and tells their story. But that's not what this was. This was a bunch of people in a room in a sitting in a circle in a church basement. And people said, oh, are you new? What's your name? And I said, I'm new. Okay. And I wanted to sit there. I didn't want anybody to look at me because I did not think I would be returning. You know, I just thought it would be the same bullshit, frankly, as everything else, that I would not be able to work this, that it would not be the perfect magic bullet solution. And, you know, I would just leave. But I realized that I had never felt less judged in my life. And I was one of the biggest people in that room. And I heard people talk about the things they had done with food with no shame in their voices. They talked about things I had done many times, eating food out of the garbage. Pouring soap on it so you wouldn't eat it, hiding, purging, you know, obsessive. Thank you. That was 10 minutes, right?
That was
Okay.
the 10 minutes, right?
All right. Thank you, Jory. All right. So I heard people talk about all those things. And then I heard some other things. I heard about acting as if. And I heard about this concept that you didn't need to know the why to do the action. I heard about this idea that food could be in one lane and life could be in the other. And one of the most incredible gifts I got was one of my first meetings, first, second meeting, was a couple, people like people I came to know very well over time. The woman was my sponsor for a long time. And they hadn't been at the first meeting that I went to because their daughter died. Their daughter was about my age and she'd had a long illness. And I went to this second meeting, and here I was, somebody who had literally convinced myself I didn't have a different way to live, that life was difficult and I had to do this in order to just keep breathing. And there they were sitting in just, abject pain. And they were abstinent. And they were sober because they were also in another program. And they weren't happy about it. They weren't, this is my life's fine because I have this thing and this program and everything's better. No, it was that you can live life. You can feel what life throws at you. And you don't have to numb yourself. You can actually be present. And that blew my mind. So that was kind of what happened, what it's like now. Okay. My life has completely changed. And I don't like to say that in the past tense. My life is changing. Obviously, I've lost some weight and kept that off. But the main thing that's changed is I am willing to be uncomfortable. I am willing to show up. I am willing to do things that scare me because I now know, or I know, I get reminded of it every day. I have to remind myself of it every day, that life can do whatever life's going to do, and my food gets to be separate. The I think the best I think I'm gonna All right. Sorry, I'm a little rambly. Apologize. I tried to do a lot of things before I was in program. I tried to go to school. I tried to have jobs. I tried to change things, and nothing ever changed because I could not get out of my own way. And I, in program, I learned about one day at a time. I learned about next right action. I learned that I did not have to figure anything out in order to do that next right action. So I want to read something to you guys that I posted on social media a couple years ago when I graduated law school. And I didn't finish high school. It took me 9 years to get my college degree because it was always stopping and starting. It got too hard. And I was in the food. And I couldn't do anything else when I was in the food. It was all consuming, literally. So what I posted was this. 1,103. That's how many days ago I sat down to law school orientation. Yesterday, I walked across a stage and received my diploma. Not a single one of those 1,103 days was assumed. I didn't know if I would make it to day two or day 10, or definitely not yesterday. Each and every one of the past 1,103 days has been a choice. I've made and abandoned a lot of plans in my life. I've blocked my own path more times than I can count. But a few years ago, I started to make a daily choice to walk in imperfect progress, in motion toward a horizon that I can't see and I don't know if I'll ever reach, but the view along the way is spectacular. Yesterday is what happens when I get out of my own way and keep walking. So here's to doing the thing you thought you could not do. Here's to creating a life with meaning, one moment and one choice at a time. Here's to recovery and hope and radical acceptance. Here's to the beautiful struggle. And that encompasses recovery to me. And that encompasses the change to me. It's willingness to be uncomfortable. It's willingness to show up. It's willingness to feel and to think and to not have to figure myself out in order to actually create a life. I work recovery, I practice these principles in all my affairs, right? I work my recovery as best I can in all aspects of my life. I am able to do things today I did not think I was physically capable of. And by that, I literally mean just showing up for people, getting outside of myself, making choices that are hard, and one day at a time, having a reprieve from this circus in my brain, at least a reprieve in terms of what I do to myself with it. When I walked into this program, I was not even trying to stop binging. It was foregone. This is just what I did every day. I was broken. And this program has shown me that, I don't know, maybe I am broken, but I don't have to act like it. And I'll wrap up. Most of the time, what's incredible is acting as if has actually turned into something I believe. Now, I actually do believe today, for today, that I am worth doing hard things. I am worth being uncomfortable. I am worth having a life with all of the good and all of the bad that comes with it. I wish I had written more of this down but talked because it feels very rambly, but that is about it. Thank you for letting me share, Nikki. Thank you for asking me to do this. Be well, everybody.